I do think it's sugar. While that may not be a surprise to people, people don't always realize sugar directly does impact the brain. It affects our neurons. It's been shown on scans, and it definitely impacts things like anxiety and mood.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Superwoman Wellness. I'm Dr. Taz. I've made it my mission throughout my career in integrative medicine to support women in restoring their health using a blend of Eastern medical wisdom with modern science. In this show, I will guide you through different practices to find your power type and fully embody the healthiest and most passionate version of you. I'm here for you, and I can't wait to get started. This is a Soulfire production. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Superwoman Wellness, where we're determined to bring you back to your superpower self. And joining me today is a guest who's actually been on the show before, believe it or not. And she is back with her brilliance. I'm so thrilled to have her here. Dr. Uma Naidu. She's worked with the Michelin-starred chef David Bulley, and she's described as the world's first triple threat in food and medicine, and is a Harvard-trained psychiatrist, a professional chef, and she graduated with the Culinary School's most coveted award, a trained nutrition specialist. Her interests have really helped her in this niche of nutritional psychiatry. She has founded and directed the first hospital-based nutritional psychiatry service in the United States. She's the director of the Nutritional and Lifestyle Psychiatry at Massachusetts General Hospital and director of Nutritional Psychiatry at MGH Academy while serving on the faculty of Harvard Medical School. She's not slowing down. So welcome to the show, Dr. Naidu. She has a new book, Calm Your Mind with Food, a revolutionary full-body approach to reliving anxiety, including anti-anxiety recipes and meal plan guidelines, from best-selling author, chef, nutritionist, and as a nutritional psychiatrist. So welcome to the show. I can't wait to get into, because your previous book we talked about, yeah. What's the title of your first book?
The first book, Dr. Taz, and thank you for having me, is this called This Is Your Brain on Food. And it emerged during the pandemic, but I'm so blessed that it resonated with people.
Yes.
So I'm excited that it is actually doing well. So
yes, I'm excited. That book. Yeah. That was a really groundbreaking book and really helpful for everyone. And probably it resonated during the pandemic because we were all home and trying to figure out how to nourish our bodies, right?
It was an unexpected gift. At first, I was really worried about that. And then it started to resonate. And people who wanted to feel better through food started to realize they were at home cooking. So why not? And I was very fortunate that way. So thank you.
Great. Well, I think this book could not be more timely or more important. I mean, mental health, the statistics on mental health continue to be really, really worrisome. We know anxiety is the number one mental health disorder in the United States. We know that it dominates women in particular.
Yes.
And I would venture to say, you know, even our adolescents and our young girls are incredibly, incredibly at risk. So we know we have a problem with anxiety. Mm. We hear the conversation, you're a psychiatrist, you know, we hear the conversation all the time around medication. Yeah. I love that you're coming into it with a more, what I would say, a holistic perspective, right? Thinking about it from a different angle. Talk to us about your just general perception of anxiety, what you're seeing in terms of treatment and research, and then how food plays a role in that conversation.
Well, I think that's a great question because it really emerged early on in the pandemic when, for the first time in my career, which spans about two decades now, Zoloft or sertraline, a well-known selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, went on shortage in the entire United States. Speaking to the spring, I think it was around May of 2020, when there were so many new prescriptions and new diagnoses for both anxiety and mood disorders, that continued throughout the last several years. And even though we have emerged from the pandemic, people are suffering with the aftermath of that emotionally. And that's what I see a lot of. And I do feel the most vulnerable population are the young folk, the other younger individuals. And of course, everyone is suffering at different across demographics, but I do think that they are super vulnerable in sort of the teen and adolescent years, as well as young children. So I have seen it throughout the last several years, and it just kept popping up on my radar as a common thread of what people were coming back to. I'd felt as though at every point during the last several years, there was either, you know, first it was lockdown and then it was vaccines and then it was, you know, the hybrid work. There were these different points at which we were struggling. So if you take a step back for a second and think about how can we help ourselves, the issue becomes medications are easily there, but why not we think about this for a second? There are those people who need the medication immediately, but there's also a very large group of individuals, including children and adolescents, that might be able to be encouraged to do other things first. And that's really where I feel this book can help people and make a difference.
I love that, because I do think that, you know, really it's exactly how we practice, you know, in my clinics we're practicing this sort of this integrated functional way is like, here's the toolbox. It's actually pretty big, you know, it's everything from food to micronutrients, to exercise, getting off Wi-Fi, sleeping, you know, having a community. There's all of this stuff, you know, before you get to medication, unless you're in a spot where, you know, medication really needs to be the first step. So I love any physician that's coming in and saying, hey, like, let's think about some other ways of doing things. You know, where have we kind of gone off the rails when it comes to food? You know, I have two teenagers. I have a 15 and a 14-year-old. We have absolutely dealt with anxiety in our home, and kind of that bleeds into some other conditions as well, right? So I've had a mom seat to this as much as I've had a doctor seat to this.
Right.
So the challenge I know for the moms listening, or for anyone listening really, is like, okay, what foods are we talking about? And how do you get somebody in the most vulnerable group, you know, children, adolescents, young adults, how do we get them to really dial into the conversation around food?
Yeah. I feel that it's not an easy question, but I feel like we need to make more and more efforts to do this. And looking at that integrated and holistic approach, like you practice in your clinics in a similar way, I think food is one huge component, but also there are things like mindfulness, breath work. I had a patient who really wanted to work on her school community and began to teach, after getting some training, some basic training in mindfulness, meditation to young students in her school district. And it was her passion to do that, and she actually was able to. And the reception was amazing when she actually spent time with these young individuals, teaching them either breath work exercise or mindfulness exercise. So there are those components as well. Using things like exercise, super important. A way to burn off that excess energy and that angst and actually get our endorphins pumping. So another way to do it. When it comes to food, I like to start with a gentle way to clean up the diet, because many people, including during the last few years, turn to adults, children, everyone across all ages, turn to some unhealthy habits. So starting there, I had a very interesting situation where a mom of a teenage daughter said to me, you know, for some reason, my daughter loves sports, but she doesn't want to drink enough water. But she was also telling you about her child's anxiety. And I said, that's interesting you say that. She might actually be anxious from being largely dehydrated for a portion of the day. So can you start with feeding her fruit and veggies that are largely water? Things like, say, cucumber or watermelon, for example. Those are two just to start with. Or can you at least add them to water to make it more interesting for her? And she tried that and got back to me and said, you know, this is working. And now that she is more hydrated, she is feeling better. And now I can get her to carry one of those fancy water bottles around that her friends are carrying too, that have sparkles on it. But she loves it because now she's drinking her water. So, you know, simple things like that can actually make a difference.
I love that. That's something everybody could do, right? That's not hard or difficult or an appointment or anything like that. Are you seeing food patterns when it comes to anxiety? And if you are, what are those patterns that we should be aware of?
So the food patterns that I'm seeing in the work from home group or the hybrid group are that people began to rely again with the struggles of the pandemic, which were very real for all of us. A lot of shelf-stable foods and going back to pastas and going back to frozen foods and things like that. Now, frozen veggies and fruit, as you know, are great options as long as there's no added source of sugar. But people sort of relying on that because of the stress of how do we balance all these different things. The other thing was in adults, you know, that extra glass of wine at night because, hey, I'm working from home. I'm not needing to go out for dinner on a Friday night. I can on a Tuesday night. So increased use of alcohol leading to anxiety or people, coronasomnia or insomnia in the last several years was huge. So people also using that glass of red wine to help them sleep at night. With other age groups, it's also been snacking on the wrong food. So how do I fill in these gaps because I'm home? So unlike the times when I had a lunch bag I was preparing for the office with my apple or my piece of, you know, hard cheese, now I'm, you know, I can eat anything at home. So there are these plus minuses. So a lot of the wrong snacks. And part of it is how do we look at our environment and sort of move on those cookies elsewhere and put back the fruit in our fridge and our kitchen counters? How do we encourage our kids to do the same? So the biggest things I'm seeing are the alcohol, the wrong types of snacks, reliance on ice cream or a treat, which post-pandemic is continuing for a lot of people. So in those instances, it's using those recipes like something made from bananas and extra dark chocolate to create an ice cream, which is all whole foods.
Yeah, I love that. I've played with some of those recipes. They're so fun. What about the children though? Do you feel like it's sugar for them? Is that the biggest? I feel like I'm seeing an epidemic. We call it candida in practice, where we just see an overgrowth of yeast in the gut. But I think that's the epidemic that I'm seeing. And it can literally directly impact the brain. You know, what are you seeing on your end?
It can directly impact the brain. I do think it's sugar. While that may not be a surprise to people, people don't always realize sugar directly does impact the brain. Right. It affects our neurons. It's been shown on scans, and it definitely impacts things like anxiety and mood, which we're also seeing a huge uptick of in this age group. Some of it is just the fact that our food environment, you mentioned earlier, where have we gone wrong? I think where we went wrong was many decades ago. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, we needed to feed more people. But on the other hand, industrialization brought in practices like farming practices, which were not the healthiest. Our food is so laden with sugar that I like to teach people how to read a food label. You know, 4 grams of sugar is 1 teaspoon. So if you're buying yogurt for your children and you do consume dairy, rather get plain yogurt. You know, stay away from snacks which are low calorie or sugar free because they have either artificial sweeteners or other preservatives and food stabilizers. So putting back more whole foods, you know, instead of a juice box, why not have the whole fruit like an orange or an actual apple? Because those things are laden with sugar and they're marketed as healthy, and often parents don't realize it because of the marketing. So I think understanding where the sugar is coming from, and also savory foods, ketchup, pasta sauces, salad dressings, are lots of foods that have, you know, a lot of added sugar through high fructose corn syrup or other places. And then salty snacks have a ton of sodium. So
I was about to ask about the salt.
Right.
Yes.
Right. How do we create a lunchbox for any age group of our children? You know, that has just, you know, celery sticks and a nut butter and other foods that are actual food versus I know it's more convenient for any one of us to buy a ton of snacks and fill those boxes. But I think we have to make a pivot somewhere on this in order to help how they're eating, because it's gotten to a point now where it's really affecting their mental health as one of the things.
All right, Superwoman, I know the drill, right? We all live the same lifestyle. We're running around, we're juggling. We don't have time for 20 different products, 20 different bottles, trying to find information and put it all together. We want solutions and we want answers. That's why I developed the East West Way. It's my product and lifestyle line full of formulas that I personally curated to really get us the answers we need. I couldn't find anything on the market that adequately merged Eastern and Western medicine together in formulas that work and gave us the answers that we were also desperate for. I'm right there with you guys, losing hair, having acne, hormones all over the place. I needed something that worked, but also worked efficiently. I didn't have time to take an herb over here and a supplement over there and a medication maybe somewhere else. The East West Way is the answer for all of us, and I couldn't be prouder of the formulas that I've developed. If you aren't familiar with some of the products, I want to share some of them with you. I've been super excited about them and have taken a lot of time and energy to put them all together. CollaGlow is one of the newer products. It's CollaGlow C. It has collagen,
amla and goji berry. So now we're merging together Ayurvedic and Eastern medicine concepts there for beautiful skin and hair, getting that glow and that circulation we need, and also a massive antioxidant burst and maybe repairing the gut a little bit along the way with the collagen. The Defender was born out of my anger around the pandemic. It's a combination of astragalus, vitamin C, and zinc, and I use that every single day, especially when I'm traveling or worried that I might be exposed to more germs. Boost is the hero product that started it all. The line started because I couldn't find a methylated formula that really answered all our needs around hormones, mood, memory, and so much more. Today, Boost continues to be the product that so many people say they can't live without. Belly Fix, again, so much around gut health. I know my patients and even I, we were tired of having a bottle here, a bottle there, mixing things together, remembering to take four or five different things. Belly Fix is the gut kitchen sink, has collagen, spirulina, prebiotics, probiotics, and so much more. I love this formula. It has been a game changer for so many people. Hormone Helper, again, hits close to home. I'm someone who has PCOS, as many of you know. A combination of maca, inositol, saw palmetto, and choline, supporting the liver, lowering androgens. It's our answer for really balancing hormones. Sleep Savior, another favorite, has magnesium, melatonin, and magnolia bark, because oftentimes falling asleep or staying asleep or both. So we needed something to answer all of that. That combination is a triple punch, works beautifully. Lush Lox, I take every day. Lush Lox has Ayurvedic and Chinese herbs that are known for regrowth and regeneration of hair and improving blood flow to the scalp, along with micronutrients that research tells us we should be focused on. This month, I'm offering an exclusive discount for Superwoman Wellness listeners. Just go to theeastwestway.com and enter SWW30 to get 30% off at checkout. Don't forget, if you rate and review any of my episodes, you'll get a free bottle of Boost. Just email me. It's hello@drtaz.com, and I'll make sure it gets to you. All right. I can't wait for you guys to try these products. Let me know which one's your favorite and take advantage of the code SWW30. At theeastwestway.com. So, you know, what are the foods? Those are things to watch out for. What are some of the foods that we need to be bringing in more if we're going to try to calm the brain down? You've already mentioned some. You mentioned hydration being very important. Mm-hmm. You mentioned more whole food, more plant foods. Are there like mm-hmm. three or four specific foods you would say mm-hmm. if you or a loved one are suffering from anxiety, these are the foods I would really try to bring into the diet?
So for the whole foods, bringing in those plant-rich foods, the different colors and the textures are really great biodiversity for the gut. So whether it's berries, whether it's the apples, whether it's the different colors of leafy greens. If a child doesn't like to eat leafy greens, will they have a smoothie with, you know, a handful of berries and lots of spinach in it and a clean protein powder? Then it's, you know, things like spices. So, you know, an alternative to pretzels or potato chips are kale or spinach chips made in an air fryer. Cup of spices.
Love my air fryer. For sure. I use it all the
time. That's right. Yeah. Exactly. It's so handy. Same thing, you know, you put those colorful veggie sticks with zucchini or carrots, and that's a much better alternative to those snack foods. And then, you know, prebiotic foods. This prebiotics come from things like oats, bananas, jicama, garlic leeks, onions. These are foods we can build up the gut, lower inflammation. So introducing that more often. Omega-3s, you know, the fatty fish. So whether it's salmon or sardines. And if you don't consume seafood for some reason, there's also plant-based sources like chia seeds or flax seeds, chia pudding for kids. Or adults. It's a great source of protein and fiber, two ingredients. So, you know, these are ways to add these foods back in. You know, then there are all of the foods I mentioned actually fend off inflammation, which is a huge part of also fending off anxiety, because going back to the foods that we're eating more of, one way is removing them or cutting back, but another way is bringing in healthy foods. The other quick thing I would mention, Dr. Taz, is there are lots of trends on social media that are impacting kids.
Yeah.
And there was this one, you know, we talked about hydration. Here's an example of where they're teaching a healthy habit along with really bad options. With the bad options. So encouraging hydration, but putting additive to the water was made with Skittles powder. So I was thinking to myself, how do we teach the healthy habit but not be adding Skittles powder, which sort of reverses.
Right.
This is a big TikTok trend not so long ago. So it's how do we really just bring back the whole foods in a form that, you know, is something our kids and our families can consume more easily.
So I'm curious, you know, when you mention things like Skittles and you mention, you know, some of the stuff, does the United States have a bigger problem with anxiety than Europe or other countries around the world where they have some stricter food standards, or not necessarily?
I think that our rates of anxiety are extremely high. Interestingly, it's also pretty high elsewhere in the world. I do think, though, there's far more regulation when you travel to Europe or even the UK around food regulation and marketing, advertising, and that type of stuff. And even though all of those populations are struggling with this condition, I think that things could be much better managed in the United States around what we even learn from our food labels that are impacting the choices we make. You know, there's no meaning to things like natural. When things are labeled low fat, low carb, gluten free, these do not mean that they're healthy options. And I think it's how do we help with re-educating ourselves around these options?
How do we also train our palates? Because the palate gets very used to, right? Salt and sugar and alcohol and all these things. You know, do you ever recommend, is there any like food detox for anxiety or like a psychiatric detox that's around food or something? I don't know if you ever recommend any of those things in practice, but how do you reset that?
One way to reset it is by slowly eliminating things while you're also adding in food. So the way that I build a nutritional psychiatry plate is I always make sure someone has more foods that they're adding to that plate. An easy way to do that is all those leafy greens and all of the different vegetables, berries and plant foods, nuts and seeds. But then we have to, while we navigate that, think about one habit that we've picked up that we want to get rid of or cut down on. And that starts to be the one we focus on and start to cut back on. For some people, it's drinking a lot of soda or diet soda, because that's the thing. That's something they enjoy. It's not always alcohol. It's not always ice cream. Sometimes it's just a sugar-laden beverage that we need to start to replace and cut back on. But while I do that, I want them to have more options. So maybe we do a smoothie with lots of greens and other veggies that makes it a healthier version. I'm not a massive fan of smoothies. Like, I don't think we should be drinking those every day, but it provides an option for people to have something different and still add some healthy foods in.
Gotcha. Well, what can we expect in your book? Are these all your recipes, or tell us?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Give us a sneak peek of one or two.
I would love to show you the book. Okay. And recipes are in the final chapters. And it comes along, Dr. Taz, with an anxiety shopping list.
Okay.
So it's how do you shop for anxiety and navigating through the supermarket. And then the recipes are really designed to be different. One of the things I think you'll appreciate is, you know, I love Mediterranean, and we talk about that as an option. But there's also this new term that people are using, Mediterranean. And I really leaned into it for this book. And I'll tell you why. One of my medical students kind of said to me, this is before COVID, said, I don't understand why all you doctors tell us, she's a med student at the time, to eat the Mediterranean diet. You know, my culture is, she is Asian. And she said, you know, we don't eat chickpeas. So what am I supposed to tell my patients in my community clinic kind of thing? And I said, you know what, that's a good point. So I started to make the links between, you know, she happened to be of East Asian descent. I said, well, how about, you know, black beans? Because that's something that you put into your different dishes. And you know, how about green veggies like bok choy? And then for, you know, South Asians, how about we lean into those chickpeas? But we make, you know, hummus with different spices or something like that. So really, the Mediterranean recipes are just a way to bring in other flavors, other spices, and cook foods that still have those Mediterranean principles. So I had a lot of fun developing those for the book too.
That's awesome. So what got you interested in cooking to begin with? I'm curious. How did you go chef doctor?
You know, I the interesting thing is I grew up and I think you probably know this, Dr. Katz, everyone cooked. So yeah. I would hang around the kitchen and I would help, but mostly I wasn't expected to do anything. So on the one hand, someone could say I was very spoiled, but on the other hand, I loved being there and I wanted to help. So later on in life was when I learned to cook. But when I did, I really found that to be my peaceful spot in the world. Like in my kitchen, I'm at peace. And I really wanted to lean into it more and reinvigorate just my some healthy habits again. And it really felt when I learned that Julia Child went to culinary school later in her life, I thought, well, why not me? Meaning, you know, I didn't start off in culinary school. Right. I went later. So that was how I ended up there.
I love that. And I think there's a reason I brought this up is that I meet many people who are just afraid of the kitchen. They're afraid to get in the kitchen. It's a lot of work to plan a meal. It's a lot of work to think about what to procure, to put it all together. But if we can think of it as a meditative, self-nurturing experience, I think it changes the energy around that, right? Like this is an act of you nurturing yourself and also nurturing the people you love. And once I switched it and started thinking of it that way, that it became less of like, oh my God, I have to spend 4 hours on Sunday in the kitchen. You know, it became less of that.
It's so true, because going back to the book for 1 second, in addition to, for this reason, in addition to the shopping list, we created a protocol. So literally you buy the foods, you cook the foods, and you follow these different steps. It's meant to be simple. It's meant to, because I have those Sundays as well, where there's an immense amount of things to prepare for the week or meal planning, and it just becomes overwhelming. So I think that the easier we can make it and the more we can look forward to it, the better it becomes.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your culinary skills with us. Anxiety is something that I think is rampant. It's rampant across all ages. Our children are really suffering. So the sooner we can kind of learn to expand that toolbox, and I think food is such a huge part of that, I think the better for sure. How can everyone find you, find the book? Tell us, like, if they're wanting more information, where should they go?
Thank you. My website is umanaidumd.com, and my social handles are all at drumanaidoo, which is at Dr. Uma Naidu. And I would love for people to join me, come to my newsletter where we talk about a different food every week. We're going to be starting to share recipes as well, because people have been asking for that. And I would love to interact with people on social media, or, you know, if they have questions and interest in the book, want to hear from them as well. And thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course, it's always a pleasure. Well, I'm sure you guys have enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Remember, you can rate and review and share these episodes with your friends. And don't forget to get Dr. Uma's book. Anxiety is real and it is increasing. We are seeing it everywhere. Thank you for watching and listening to this episode of Superwoman Wellness. Thank you, Dr. Uma, for joining us today. And I will see everybody next time.